I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just about every week, we bring you glimpses of the world outside the U.S. Today, from rogue state to ally in the fight against terrorism, we have two views of Libya's new, increasingly cordial relations with the West. The one thing that's clear, after decades of being shunned by the West, things are changing for the North African nation. Libya's rehabilitation has been taking shape since 2003, when it agreed to compensate the families of victims of the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. It also agreed not to develop weapons of mass destruction. Earlier this month, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with Libya's Foreign Minister Abdelrahman Chalkam. Their meeting marked the first time a Libyan foreign minister has visited the State Department since 1972. And on the same day, Libya's UN ambassador, Giadella El-Tahi, took over the presidency of the Security Council. We caught up with Ambassador El-Tahi last week at his office in New York. Ambassador, congratulations on assuming the presidency.
Thank you.
You take over at a time of great conflict and uncertainty in the world. Are there any specific things you hope to accomplish?
Being elected members in the Security Council for us is very important. It is very significant. But what to accomplish, we will work with the others, permanent and elected members, in a very constructive way and cooperate fully with them to try to accomplish the ambitions of the Security Council.
As I mentioned, on the same day that you took over the presidency of the UN Security Council, our Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, met with your Libyan foreign minister here in Washington, the first such meeting in decades. How significant was this meeting for Libya?
I think it shows clearly that the relations between our two countries are moving ahead.
And of course, Secretary of State said that there's unfinished business between the U.S. and Libya. And she says among this unfinished business are concerns that the U.S. government still has about human rights in Libya. Is the Libyan government willing to discuss human rights issues with the U.S.?
When it comes to intervention in our internal affairs, we are quite sensitive. I don't think that any country in the world accepts to discuss his own internal affairs with the others.
Well, as you know, an issue that has caused concern in many parts of the world and has surfaced recently again. Last week, a Palestinian doctor filed a complaint with the UN Human Rights Committee, and he, along with five Bulgarian nurses, received death sentences for allegedly infecting Libyan children with HIV. He says he was tortured into making a false confession. And, of course, as you know, the six were pardoned last year after spending 8 years in prison. Do you have any comment about this?
I don't have any comment. Everyone is free to go to the justice for his own claims. But I can assure you that really torture is not, if I can say, way in our behaving.
You're saying that Libya does not engage in torture?
For sure. It could happen as an isolated accident, but it is not legal, it is not admitted, it is not a policy for us.
I'd like to move on to sort of some of the economic relationships that Libya is trying to forge with both the U.S. and with some other countries. Recently, U.S. companies such as Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon have opened talks with Libya about furthering sort of economic ties. What are some of the economic relationships that you would like to develop, that your government would like to develop with U.S. companies?
We are welcoming them in all fields. Many of them are already active there in Libya, and I think the energy sector is a priority for cooperation, I think.
I heard you say earlier that you feel that all countries don't welcome scrutiny of their internal affairs, but an issue that has engaged many people in the United States, as well as other people around the world, is the situation in Darfur. And Libya, as an African country, as I'm sure you know, that many people believe that the government there is engaged in a genocide against certain members of the population there, that certain people have been subjected to violations of human rights in an effort to sort of clear them from the land. And it's created at least a humanitarian disaster. Do you feel that Libya might have any role in resolving this conflict? I mean, in part because it is an African nation.
Yeah, it is an African nation. It is our direct neighbor. We have common border. The situation is very complicated and very difficult. As you know, we are caring a lot about the political solution for this problem. And we hope with the cooperation of the regional and international players and the United Nations, this political process will progress.
Do you believe that genocide is the correct word for what has occurred there?
No, certainly not. It is a very sad situation there. But saying that the government of Sudan is acting really in the way you have described as genocide, I do not share your opinion.
Well, forgive me, sir. That wasn't my opinion. It's the opinion of some of our key government leaders, including former Secretary of State Colin Powell and other officials.
I don't think that it is really the point of view of so many countries in the world.
How do you describe it? What do you think is going on there? Why do you think this dispute is so intractable?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, it started as a tribal conflict, let us say, but it has degenerated, if I can say, to a very, very sad situation. And we have so many refugees, so many people were killed there. But really speaking about the genocide by the government, I think it is not the right way.
Former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan visited the region a number of times, and his successor Ban Ki-moon has also attempted to intervene here. Is there some role that you might play? Do you think the United Nations, is there an additional role that the United Nations could be playing to help resolve this?
Yeah, I think they have a very, very important role to play. First of all, in the deployment of the UNAMID, and I think they are doing a very necessary job. When the situation on the ground is stable and secure, I think this will create a very favorable condition for the progress of the political process.
Are there any other conflicts around the world that you would wish to highlight to us as a matter of urgent concern for you or for your country that perhaps we as Americans are not focusing on?
No, I think as a member of the Security Council and as Libya, we are our priority is the African and Arab issues, and we will cooperate with the other in a very constructive way.
A point I wanted to ask, are you following our presidential election?
Yes, why not? I think everyone on this earth is following the American elections.
Are any of the candidates impressing you particularly?
Not really. If you don't mind, I don't. I am here officially. When you will meet me in the street, I can perhaps answer this question.
Well, perhaps we will.
Yeah.
Ambassador Jadela Tale is president of the UN Security Council. He joined us on the phone from his office in New York. Ambassador, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.